This week's mailbag comes from Alana in Montreal. Lisa, my husband is an entrepreneur who works from home. After seeing how the Sunday basket system has helped me, he has implemented it in his home office. He is also one of a team of lay leaders who lead our church. We don't have a pastor, so this team does all the pastoring and preaching. This past Sunday, my husband was preaching and was talking about how he got interested in this particular topic and wanted to do further research on it, but didn't want to get distracted from what he was studying for this week. And he says in the middle of his sermon, "So I took out an index card and wrote my ideas for further research and study on it and stuck it in my Sunday basket and continued on with preparing for this message." He looks over at where I was sitting and gives me a wink. "So Lisa, your Sunday basket was endorsed from our church's pulpit. I thought you might find that fun." Thanks, Alana.
If you have an Organized 365 success story, share it with us. Send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and tell us how you've taken back your home, your paper, and your life.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Today, Organized 365 is releasing a brand new quiz, which will help you and future Organized 365 listeners figure out where are you in this organizational journey and what is your first step. Creating this quiz was supposed to take like a day, and it literally took me 4 months, to the point which my team or I had hired some outside help in order to configure this quiz would say, "I haven't heard about the quiz lately. Like, is that already done?" Or I was like, "No, still in the slash pocket." And as I finally got around to making this quiz, which is really epic, I hope you go take it. I made it Lisa-ish. So you take the quiz, but also I pop in with videos and I explain how you're answering, the way you're answering, and what that means in your organizational journey. And in creating the quiz, I realized that there were some really big concepts that I had not shared yet on the podcast, and I didn't even really realize they were what was either holding you back or pushing you forward and getting organized. So last week, you heard about the first one, your why. Why are you thinking about getting organized now? That is 100% unique to you. Has nothing to do with me, the time of the year, where you live in the world, nothing. It is totally intrinsic about why you want to get organized. It's a very personal decision. The second thing that came up, though, as I was making this quiz, was the fact that there are these external things on the outside that are either telling you this is the right time to get organized or why organization possibly has been difficult in the past. And those are time, money, and motivation. Often I have been posing questions over the last year where I would say, are you lacking time or are you lacking motivation? Because I was starting to see that, you know, I have time and motivation. I don't always have money, but I've always been a motivated person since a very young child. And I can find the time for what I want when I want it. And I'm good at saying, all right, fine, the laundry's not going to get done because I'm going to finish this project, just because basically I'm a workaholic. It's not a secret. And as we go through this podcast, you'll see how much of a workaholic I am. And I have this burning desire, passion to help other women realize they can get organized and live an organized life so they have time to go do whatever they want to spend their time doing. Like, it is an energy inside me that I cannot turn off, and I have got to find a way to break through and let all women know that you can be organized. You may not want to be, that's totally fine. But if you do want to be organized, I want you to know that that is a possibility for you, and how do I help you do that? So, oh my goodness, I have so many index cards in front of me of all these things I want to tell you inside of this podcast. And I realized this morning as I was getting all of these notes together, this is what I've been trying to articulate over the last probably 3 years, but it wasn't until today I saw how they all link together. So in creating this quiz, I realized that as I listed out all of the reasons why you may be hitting roadblocks in your organization, I could lump those into three categories. They were either time-related, they were money-related, or they were motivation-related. And then another thing I've been saying a lot lately is that I recognized this probably 4 years ago, that organization is one of the number one New Year's resolutions here in the United States to get organized. The top three are to lose weight and get fit, to pay off your debt and get your money in order, and to get organized. Those are the top three, and they bounce around, and which one is the highest? I don't think organization has ever been number one, but I think it has been number two before. And so those are the three things that I know I could say in January are on your mind, because they're on your mind. Like, those are the three things. And when I really thought about it this morning and getting ready to record this podcast, I was like, all right, I have also said that when you start on one, like when you start your organizational journey, which is how it started for me, eventually my finances and my health have fallen into line. Like, it's almost like if you do one, you get the other two. Not immediately. I want you to, you're going to hear this all in one podcast and think, yep, I want all of that tomorrow. The other thing I'm going to hit home on in this podcast is that this takes time, sometimes decades. The journey I'm going to share with you is my journey over the last 7 years. And as I would get one area under control, I would start to focus on the other. And as I started to focus on the other, the last one would start to fall away. And the reason why is because we only have so much focus. And the key to success, I have realized, is taking our energy and our resources and our time and deciding we're going to do something and doing it long enough that it becomes a habit. Now, there are a lot of people who've written about habits. I am really good about creating habits, so I'll just be honest. I have not read a book or listened to a podcast about creating habits in the last 7 years. So anything I'm going to tell you about habit making is probably in those books, but it's just something I intrinsically know. As a child, I was really, really good. I'm a very disciplined person. I'm just a naturally disciplined person. And when I want to do something, I will research it. I will figure out the answer. And then I will do it long enough for it to become a habit. And then I will do the next thing, because I'm obsessed with productivity. Obsessed with productivity. I have been ever since I was a child. I carried around a planner and a date book when nobody else did in school, because it was the best way to be productive. And if I was productive and I could get my schoolwork done, I could do more babysitting and I could make more money, because I was going to be a business owner and I was going to need that. So I had like a 40-hour a week babysitting job that I created on my own in high school using multiple different moms with children. And I sold them on needing more of my services. Like, when I would leave a babysitting job, if I had a Thursday open, I would say to the mom, you know what, I'm available Thursday if you'd like to go run your errands and I'll make homemade Play-Doh with the kids. And 9 times out of 10, that mom would say, okay. Because I would have said okay if I was the mom. So I was really good at selling my babysitting services, and I needed to be very productive with the rest of my time so that my room was clean, so I was allowed to go babysit, and my homework was done, so I was allowed to go babysit. So I was a very productive child. I come by productivity naturally. Now, when you look at health and fitness, finances, and organization, they each help you in a different area. Organization always gives you time. Organization always gives you time. The greatest example I could see about this is that minimalism is a huge trending word right now. Everybody wants to be a minimalist. I am not a minimalist. My closet is kind of trending towards minimalism, I would say. I don't have a lot of things, but I still have more things than what are those closets? I have more than a capsule wardrobe. So I do some things minimalistically, like cooking, but I'm not a minimalist. Like, I keep all the memories. I have over 100 scrapbooks. You cannot have 100 scrapbooks and be a minimalist. I'm just not a minimalist. But I think one of the biggest draws to the to the lifestyle of minimalism is that decision is taken away. And in 2 weeks, I'm going to go through that decision fatigue, what you guys want me to talk about with decisions. But first, I have to teach you about habits, and I have to teach you how these three things correlate, and then we could talk about decision fatigue. But minimalism gets rid of most of your decisions because you just don't have that much stuff. So organization always gives you time. If you decide to be a minimalist and get rid of 80% of what you have in your house, or go live on a boat, or sell it all and travel the world, you are hands down going to get more time, because our stuff takes time to clean, put away, maintain, insure, all of those things. Everything around you is costing you time, and some of it is just mental time. So organization, getting organized, organizing physically, organizing your calendar, organizing anything is always going to give you time, because the act of organizing is proactively deciding how your time in the future is going to be spent. If you are disorganized or unorganized, then your time is decided for you based on whatever email, text, fire, phone call you get next. Like, whoever wants to use your time will use your time, and you're not in control of your time, so you don't know how much time you have when you're not organized. When you are organized, you proactively decide how you're going to spend your time in your days, how you are going to organize the things that are within your house. And all of those proactive decisions give you more time in your week. And then still the unexpected emails, texts, phone calls, fires come up. But when they come up, you are in a place of control and order. And you decide if this urgent request is truly urgent or not, because you have the time to make that decision. If you don't have the time to make that decision, everything seems urgent, and how can I get this done quickly and not actually done, put on my to-do list, even if it didn't need to be done at all? You're checking it off just so you don't have to put it on a to-do list. So that's time. If you want more time, you have to get organized. You will never get more time for money. Well, you can if you outsource, but then you have to be organized in order to outsource. And you will not get more time by being physically healthy and fit. You will get more energy, but not more time. So time always comes from organization. That's why productivity is an outpouring of an organized life. You cannot get productivity without being organized. You have to get organized first, and then you get productivity. Your money is your resources. And money comes from constraining yourself and budgeting so that you can financially invest in whatever you want to invest in. And that is the least one I'm going to talk about here. But money, there's a constraint on money. You have a limited amount of money. Even if you have a $100 million company, you still have a limited amount of money. No one has unlimited amounts of money. I mean, if Bill Gates had unlimited amounts of money, then he wouldn't even have a foundation for vaccines. He would just literally vaccinate the world and we'd be done. Period. End of discussion. But even he does not have an unlimited amount of money. So money in and of itself is a constraint. And because it's a constraint, it makes you prioritize and choose what you are going to truly invest in. So money is a constraint that makes you choose what you're going to invest in. So we don't have unlimited time. We don't have unlimited money. And then for health and fitness, we don't have unlimited energy. In every single instance, it's a continuum. There is an extreme. For organization, you could be all the way over on the hoarding end, or you could be all the way over on the minimalist end. That book, I loved that book. I can't remember who it was that wrote the book about 100 things. Like, literally, he lived with only 100 things. If he wanted to get a new pencil, he had to get rid of something, like shoes or something. I love that book. Like, it blew my mind that he actually lived a whole year with only 100 things. That is an extreme. So those are the two extremes. And in organization, we're somewhere in the middle. Finances are an extreme. Some people are homeless and on the street. That is an extreme. Bill Gates can literally, maybe, possibly vaccinate the world. He's just not choosing to. I don't know. He has an exorbitant amount of money. Those are the extremes. We are somewhere in the middle. Health and wellness, we are somewhere in the middle. This is one I think sometimes we think we have the least control over. Like, you could say, well, I am not Bill Gates, but I'm also not homeless, so I'm somewhere in the middle, and you're kind of okay with that. But in health and wellness, if you have cancer or you have fibromyalgia, or, you know, I have some friends that literally, they can't get out of bed all day, and it's this hidden disease where you, like, just literally have no energy, and you're powerless. Like, you cannot, like, it's a diagnosis. Like, what are you going to do, right? Or I would say I could possibly be on the other extreme as far as energy level. I have an unbelievable energy level, but I am not. Like my friend Tara in England, oh my gosh, she is going to walk or jog, whatever, 100K, two of them. So like for fun, she does marathons, but these are even bigger than marathons. I don't even know how you talk about them. She like climbs mountains and stuff for fun. I'm like, I don't comprehend that level of fitness and energy. I just don't even comprehend it. And I don't even think she thinks she's that fit. I'm just like, dude, in America, like we would have TV shows about this. So your energy level comes, though, from your health and your fitness. And this has been the hardest one for me to understand for multiple reasons. Number one, genetically, I have amazing genes. I'm extremely blessed. Most of my great grandmothers have lived into their 90s, early 100s. Many people in my family live into their 100s. They're very healthy. We do not have cancer. There are a lot of illnesses and diseases that are just not in my genes at all, or they're very, very rare. And so the people in my family tend to live a long, long time, especially the women. The women tend to live longer than the men do. And I have just kind of given myself a free pass because none of them have really ever exercised at all. And so I'm like, well, they didn't exercise and they lived to 100. So, you know, I'm going to be just fine, which is partly a coping mechanism and partly just not taking ownership for my own health and well-being, which I have been doing lately. So your energy and your motivation comes from your health and your wellness. Doesn't mean you have to exercise all the time. I'm going to talk about how I actually have just started adding in exercise, but mostly I'll tell you over the last 7 years that my energy level and my fitness has come from the food that I eat, or the terrible food that I eat. You see me in the onion ring line, you know. So those are where our three things are coming from. If you're wondering, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough time, you're not organized and productive. Part of organization is decluttering, which means in your house, getting rid of stuff, but in your schedule, getting rid of obligations, in your calendar, getting rid of repetitive things that you've been doing for 10 years, but maybe don't need to be doing. I decluttered volunteering at church. I know. I decluttered it like 15 years ago, and now I have plenty of time and I haven't taken it back. Does that make me a bad Christian? Like, I do wonder about that. The obligations about how we think we should use our time. I say these things because I want you to really think about it. Like if you've been serving on the school board or, you know, part of the PTA for 15 years, do you have to do it for the rest of your life? Nothing on your calendar or on your schedule or in your house has to stay there, and nothing has to go. It's all your own choice. In all of these three areas, it's all your own choice, but making the choice is what is going to lead to the freedom of the time or any of those things. And we'll talk about that in the next podcast. So health and fitness, finances, and organization. The other thing I wanted to say about health and fitness is that that is the underlying thing that I have just now realized between health and fitness. It's how you fuel your body and how you reward yourself. And this weekend is when I realized it was how you reward yourself. Now, I think that you would agree with me when I say that I live a charmed life. I just do. I love my life. I own my own business. I get to set my own hours. You know, I make most of the decisions in our household. Like, I really am in control of my life. And many of you may feel like you are not in control of your life. 7 years ago, I was not in control of my life. I just was spiraling out of control. And you can scroll back a couple episodes and listen to my 7-year transformation journey. And it is that transformation journey which has me where I am today. You can do it too. You can't do it in 1 month. It is going to take years, but you can do whatever you want to do and be in total control of your life too, but it's going to happen day by day. And I figured that since I don't eat a lot of calories, you guys, I think 3,500 calories is a pound, or you're supposed to have 2,400. I was on this diet a while ago where you had to eat 3,500 calories. I couldn't do it. Like, I just don't eat a lot of calories, but the calories I eat are not good for me. They're not good for me. And so I would reward myself with a bag of Cheetos and chocolate and a soda. And, you know, they were rewards. Like, oh, I worked hard, I get my Coke now. You know, I worked hard, I get my chocolate now. I ate my dinner and my vegetables, I get my dessert now at every meal. And it was my way of rewarding myself. And I have a blessed, charmed life. There's, what am I rewarding myself from? From bliss? Like, why do I need chocolate on top of this? I love everything I'm doing. I love how I'm spending my time. So why do I need to reward myself with food? But I realized this weekend I am rewarding myself with food. So let's now look at how do you get success. Success in every one of these issues comes down to three things. The first is you have a thought. You have a thought, I want to change my organizational life. And then when you think about it long enough, it turns into planning, which also used to be called daydreaming. Driving the car and going, wouldn't it be awesome if I walked in my kitchen and the counters were clear and I knew what I was making for dinner? Like, daydreaming and is part of the planning. Like, to actually see that vision in your mind, and then you get to decide, yeah, I really want that, or that's nice, but whatever. Daydreaming is really important. The dreaming about the potential end product of whatever you want is really important. If you are in debt and you are thinking about getting out of debt, the planning part is, okay, well, are we going to start using coupons and shopping at Aldi and making all of our food from scratch? No? Okay. Are we going to take the things around our house and sell them on eBay and ship them all out? No? Okay. Are we going to have a garage sale? Am I going to get a part-time job? Is my husband going to get another job? Are we going to downsize our house? Like, the daydreaming part, the thinking part, the planning part is all about the millions of ways that you could do any of these things. You can get healthy, you could pay off debt or do something different with your finances, and you can get organized a million different ways. There are a million different ways you can get started. Part of the problem is you can daydream forever, right? You think, oh, I want to lose 10 pounds. And here are the 18 different ways that I could do them. And then you think about all the different ways and you weigh which one is going to be perfect. And you could be in this cycle forever. I've been in it for, I don't know, how old am I? All of those years. The third step, which is the action step, is creating the habit. All of this is to have a thought, make a plan, create a habit. Have a thought, create a plan, make a habit. The better you get at this cycle in every area of your life, the more habits you have stacked on top of themselves. And our entire life, if you have not known it, you are actually living on autopilot based on the habits you've created. Everything you do today is based on a habit that you've created. You have a habit of how you get up in the morning. You have a habit of how you go to sleep at night. You have a habit of how you drive wherever you go to. You have a habit of how you do your grocery shopping, how you do your meal planning, how you take care of your yard, the interactions you have with your dog. Your dog knows your habits. When I don't do the regular prescribed habit, the dog literally freaks out. So I was downstairs with Greg the other day, and he was leaving for work, and I'm never downstairs when Greg leaves for work. And so Greg gave him the deli stick. Greg lets him out, he gets a deli stick. I let him out, he gets nothing, which is why the dog doesn't listen to me always. So anyway, Greg gives him the deli stick and we're both still standing there. And the dog is like, this is so weird. It's workday morning, it's not weekend day. Why are they both here? Why is Dad going out the front door and now the back door? And like, he noticed all the things we were doing that were not part of our habit because he knows how habitual we are. If you think you are not habitual, look at your dog and your children.
Your children also know all of your habits. And the more you realize that you are in control of your life, but you are in control of your life through your habits, the more you will start to make your habits a priority. Now, there's been studies that say it takes 21 days to do habits, whatever. I think it takes 100 days. It takes a long time to have a habit. And so the biggest mistake we can make is trying to change too many things, to have too many thoughts and make too many plans and then try to create multiple habits. It never works. Never works. There are extremes, but even I would say I am a habit building black belt. I'm really good at habits. I had a hard time making salads my habit. My weakest link of these three is health and fitness. Hands down, health and fitness. I argue with myself all the time about why I'm doing what I'm doing and how really the way it was before isn't that big of a deal. As a matter of fact, I want to make sure I said on this podcast, I have no problem with my body. I mean, like, I'm fine. So I'm curvy. You know, I'm a size 8. I'm fine. Like, I don't need to be a size 2. I don't. However, I also know I'm not as healthy as I need to be. I said I'm curvy. So I've got the booty, I've got the stomach, and I have the chest. I have all of the curves. When my stomach, when I look down and I could see my stomach and my chest, I'm not happy because I don't have a small chest. So at that point, we know we've had a few too many chocolate and carbs, if you know what I mean. I was never pregnant, but sometimes I look like I am. And I'll be honest, for a couple minutes, I just let myself dream about what it would have been like to be pregnant. But then I go, but you're not. So this is out of control. I don't need to have washboard abs. However, I don't really want to see them when I look down. So that is where I am. And today, I actually have lost 4 pounds in 4 weeks, just from some of the things I'm going to tell you in a minute that I'm doing differently. And as soon as I looked down and realized I wasn't seeing my stomach, I was seeing my chest, I threw my shoulders back instantly. Like, my shoulders just kind of went back. And I stood taller, like, because I felt better about myself. My pants size has not changed at all, but I can't see my belly today, so it's a great day. So I know that your health and your fitness does change everything else in your life, as does your financial situation, as does your organizational situation. So it takes 90 days. We have the idea, which is the thought and planning, and the commitment is the habit. What I have found to be true is if you want a habit to stick, it must involve all three. It must involve your health and fitness, your finances, and your time. So your money, your time, and health and fitness is where your motivation and your energy comes from. You can have all the time and money in the world, but if you have no motivation, you will do nothing. If you have motivation and money, but you don't have any time, you can't make any progress either. And if you have time and motivation, but you have no money to do anything, well, that is the one that sometimes you can make progress and get started, but eventually you're going to need to put a little bit of money into the mix. And the reason why is because your brain doesn't take you as seriously if you don't put the finances in there because you don't add that constraint of your resources, which makes the time and motivation more important. Just think about this. If you could do something for free, or you could, let's say you've got plans on Friday night and you've put it down and it is a free event, or you've paid $50 in tickets. When it comes to Friday night, you still have the time because it's blocked off on your calendar. So the time's not an issue. So now it's just a motivation and a money issue. Do you ever, on Friday, when you're thinking about going to that event and it's free, decide that that's not how you want to spend your Friday night? And if you do you ever, on a Friday night, when you run out of some of your physical energy, but you've put $50 on the plate, you go anyway, you have a great time, you're surprised you ever thought about not going? Right. Sometimes you cancel just because your motivation is a fickle friend. Motivation is here, it's there, it's gone, it's energy. Like, you can lose it. When you block the time off on your calendar, maybe something comes up Friday that's more important that has to take that time. Yes, that definitely happens. But time, once it's blocked off, generally 80% of the time, it stays blocked off. Money, once it's invested, once you've bought the tickets, once you've made the decision,
usually 90-95% of the time, the money stays. The motivation is the fickle friend. So if you add the money to the time, the motivation stays higher and longer. That's why the money is important. If it is a free item, while you're like, oh, well, I'm saving money, so I'm going to put my time towards it, sometimes you will lose the motivation, and because there's no time or there's no money behind it, you will give up the time and lose the whole habit. That's why the trifecta really does help you achieve all of your goals. So let's break this down, and I'm going to talk in the rest of this podcast about my health and my weight loss. As a teenager, you know how they always say you should just wear the bikini because you rock the bikini, and in the future you wish you would have worn the bikini younger. First of all, I am a very conservative person, and I don't like bikinis. I like a tankini, like that covers up my stomach. I've never enjoyed my stomach at all. Even as a child that was stick thin, I thought that I had a belly. I did not, but I thought that I did. So I was too used to looking at magazines, and I did not understand those were not real people. So I am not comfortable in a bikini. However, I do like to look and feel good, especially in photos, because I told you I have 100 photo albums. And I look at those photos, I think, wow, I rarely say my face looks fat, but I will often look and see, like, at the midsection, like, how was my stomach doing at that time? That's my big thing, is my stomach. Abby tells me a big booty is in. I'm like, great, I got that. I've had that since childhood. I will have that when it's out again, but right now it's in, so I'm not worried about that. So I have, I would say pretty much forever, I've always wanted to lose 10 pounds. Why 10 pounds? I have no idea, because that's what they always say on the podcast and TV shows. So it must be 10 pounds. If I'm realistic with myself, it's 20 pounds right now. So I was 164 pounds at the beginning of this year. I'm currently at 159.4. I got a new scale. I know some people don't do the scale. The scale really works for me. I need that accountability. And my goal is 144 pounds. I have no idea why. It's an arbitrary number. I have no idea what that's going to look like on my body. Maybe I won't like it. I think I'm going to like it. I don't want to be a size 2. I think a 6. I don't know. I don't think I'll be, I think I'll probably be a size 6. I'm a size 8 now. I was as big as a size 12 a while ago. It doesn't matter. I'm just giving you all the numbers so you could be like, well, I wonder what she is. Because I always wonder, I'm listening to the podcast. Well, I wonder what she is. Those are all the numbers. There's all the numbers for you. But what I've realized, especially over this past weekend, is it's more about health than it is about the weight. And as I get healthier, the weight will be what it's supposed to be. And I don't know what that number is. I feel like I should say right now, I'm actually really healthy. Like when I go to my doctor and they run all the numbers, they're all perfect. Like all my blood numbers are perfect. I don't take any medications except for Zyrtec. I'm actually going to go back to an allergist. Thank you for whoever DM'd me on Instagram. And they were like, hey, I have a dust allergy too. And they take this sublingual tablet I actually had been researching. I was like, yay, thank you for telling me. So I am going to go back to an allergist. I used to go to an allergist. I used to have severe asthma. I don't have asthma now. Like, I don't have any prescriptions. Oh, I do have migraines, but I'm not worried about those. Like, I am an extremely, extremely healthy person. There's no outside reason why I would need to spend more time, money, and energy on my health. So far, I haven't. But I'm going to take you on my 7-year journey and show you how this has worked in the area that has been hardest for me, which is my health. So 7 years ago, I turned 40, and I gave up Coca-Cola. And I think it was to lose weight. Anyway, I lost 10 pounds. I gave up Coke. I lost 10 pounds. Don't worry, I gained it back. But the thing that I noticed after being off of Coca-Cola, and let's just be clear, I was drinking 6 to 10 a day. It's not like a Coke here or there. No, it was a fountain Coke, to the point that when we adopted our children, my number one concern was in the winter when we adopted Joey, how was I going to get a couple of fountain Cokes for the day if I had a newborn? And I had my friends bring me fountain Cokes. That's how much of an addiction it was. So it took me a while, but I stopped drinking Coca-Cola. And at that time, I got a Keurig, and I had never had coffee before I turned 40. And I started drinking coffee, and I would have one Keurig caramel coffee in the morning. And I worked my way off of all of that sugar and all of that caffeine. And what I noticed was, after about 9 months, All of a sudden, I realized I didn't have any neck or shoulder tension anymore. And in my 30s, I had had so much neck and shoulder tension every single day that every couple weeks, I would, even though we didn't have the money, I would go get a massage because I had to, because the pain was just so bad. I had headaches all the time. I still have migraines, but very few. And it was from this shoulder and neck pain, which I thought was from stress and I thought was from migraines. It was from the corn syrup and the Coca-Cola. I had no idea. So that was the first health change that I noticed, was that I rarely have shoulder and neck pain anymore, and a huge reduction in my headaches and a little bit of reduction in my weight from getting off of Coca-Cola. Then a couple years after that, about 5 years ago, I found podcasts. And when I found podcasts in the spring, I decided I was going to listen to every single episode of Entrepreneur on Fire. And at that time, I think he had like 500 episodes. This guy podcasts every single, I've given up. But anyway, back then, and I dreamt about being a guest on his show, and I was eventually a guest on his show. And that summer, I got a Fitbit. And I walked 10,000 steps every single day listening to podcasts. So I walked over 1 million steps that summer. I was super proud of myself. Just as a point of reference, if I were to put my Fitbit on today, I would walk about 1,600 steps. You guys, I work from home. And I'm podcasting, so I'm sitting down or I'm on the computer. 1,600 steps. So 10,000 steps is like 10x. It's like huge. On a good day, I walk 3,300 steps. I'm pretty much a sloth that talks a lot. So that was a big, huge deal. I did end up eating salads that summer too for the first time, and I lost 10 pounds that summer. My food choices up until 6 months ago were fast food that was purchased at a fast food restaurant or fast food that I heated up from my freezer because I like processed food. I don't know what to tell you. Cheetos and chocolate are my snacks. And then my meals, quote unquote meals, would be like taquitos and frozen pizzas and any of that stuff that you buy in the freezer section for children. That's what I was eating. But 7 years ago when I started the coffee, I didn't have time to make breakfast, and so what I started eating were these Zone Perfect Nutrition Bars, which are chocolate peanut butter, which in the beginning I thought it was better than what I was doing, which was McDonald's fast food breakfast, and it was not perfect because there's a lot of sugar, blah, 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 but over time I've realized that these Zone Perfect Nutrition Bars actually have the perfect blend of macros, which is carbs, fat, and protein. And one of the things I'm starting to learn about nutrition is that there is no one formula. I'm always like, okay, well, it's going to be this person's formula, so I'm going to try it. And I've tried a lot of people's formulas. And again, over time, the only thing that sticks is what? Habits. So I would have a thought and I would plan and I would dream about following whoever this person's program was and their eating habits and how mine would radically transform into theirs. And then I would put my money behind it and I would put my motivation and time behind it and I would fizzle out within days, if not weeks, because it was too radical of a change for me. Habit change happens really, really slowly, but it stays. That's why I'm always telling you to just do the Sunday basket and get it working, because that is a habit. And once you get that habit and you keep doing it, you're ready for the next organizational change. You can't do it all at one time. So this Zone Perfect Nutrition Bar, I've literally had every single morning for the last 7 years. It's easy. When I travel, I always travel with me, so I don't have to worry about having food when I am out. Now, interestingly enough, when I went to a conference last year, it was all this froofy granola food and there were no carbs anywhere and everything was vegan and like it was ultra healthy, and I got horrible headaches because my body needs carbs. Like whenever I try to go on these really low carb things, it messes with my metabolism hugely. I'm not saying in the future that I won't have less carbs, but I need some carbs. So on that trip, I actually ordered room service breakfast.
and I ordered like everything, like eggs, bacon, toast, and I ate all the breakfast. Then I ate their little froofy, whatever the heck lunch that was. And then I went at 2 o'clock and I ate this protein bar I normally eat for breakfast. And then I, you know, had my own dinner. So it just so happened wherever we were, there were no real restaurants around. There was no place to go and get like a cheeseburger or something. And it really messed with my energy. So whatever your nutritional requirements are, as you listen to your body, you will start to realize what's good for you. And for me, this Zone Perfect Nutrition Bar works well. So actually, I'm sitting here recording this. It's in the morning. It's almost 10. I haven't even opened my nutrition bar yet. And I have my coffee here that I made about an hour ago. I like lukewarm coffee. It doesn't bother me at all. So all morning long, I will sip my coffee. And when I get a little bit hungry, I will eat my protein bar. And I will eat sometimes half and then half and whatever. So that's what I do in the morning. But that's where my nutrition stopped. So this is 5 years ago. We're sometimes having success losing weight. And all I figured out is the coffee and the nutrition bar. And then I started to really realize that a lot of these entrepreneurs were doing this thing called brain hacking. And brain hacking is when you figure out what your brain, the fuel your brain needs in order to sustain your attention and be productive longer, because I'm a workaholic. So what I was finding at that point was I was working from home. I was getting organized. You know, I was still driving the kids everywhere. I could sit down at the computer at 8 a.m. with my coffee and my protein bar, and I could work all the way until 1 o'clock with no break, no problem, no brain fog. And then I would have my lunch, which I just told you what that was, total trash. And then at 2 o'clock every single day, I would have this overwhelming tiredness come over me. Overwhelming. Like I had to take a nap every single day. And here's what I would do. I would make a second coffee. I would drink that coffee straight down. Then I would take a 20-minute nap. And then when I would wake up, I would have enough energy for the rest of my day. But my focused energy of the morning was never available at night. So it was very rare that I could get like book writing done or podcast writing done or anything like that in the evening. Eventually, I started realizing by listening to these entrepreneurs that what was happening was something I was eating at lunch was causing that afternoon slump, like that severe problem. And it took me a while to figure out what it was, but I started realizing that your food really does impact how you feel. And so I got better and better and changed when I was eating and changed where I was eating. And now I just realized I never take naps. Like just like that stress in my neck went away, I realized I never take naps anymore. The next thing I would say that I changed in my food was this fall when I added in salads. And the reason why I added in salads, well, I've known that salads have worked before. And the biggest reason why I don't do salads is because I don't have the stuff at home to make a salad. And I don't want to take the time to make a salad. I have no motivation for it whatsoever. If I'm going to take time, I would like to make a French bread pizza. Thank you very much. So I read this book. So Abby's being homeschooled, and one of our homeschooling things is nutrition and wellness for her and for me, but it's something that she's interested in as well. And I read the book Body Love, which was really hard to get, and it's all about these smoothies, and we actually made these really healthy smoothies. I drank one, and I was done. Abby actually did them for about 6 weeks, but that book, Body Love, really taught me a lot about what's happening in my body when I have that trashy food or a spike of carbs and all these different things. So I started to understand not just the number of calories I'm supposed to eat, but what kind of calories I'm supposed to eat. And the biggest thing I learned from that book is this idea of ghrelin. So I don't know enough to know anything to tell you about it, but basically ghrelin is what tells you you're hungry. Anyway, salad turns ghrelin off. That's what I learned. Like if you have big bulky food like lettuce, it's going to make you feel fuller longer, which is going to turn off your ghrelin, which means you're not going to eat as much. That's what I learned from that book. So I realized that, okay, salads are the thing. And I'm a fast food girl. And I realized that at Wendy's for $5, I could get a fast food salad. And I bought it and it was good because it had a sweet dressing on it, had little cranberries in it. I get the half harvest chicken salad with no cheese because I don't like feta cheese. I love cheese. I just don't like feta cheese. And they're 300 calories. I was like, great, this is low calories. It's going to turn off my ghrelin. It's sweet for my sweet tooth. I'm good to go. So I started that probably 6 months ago, five, six months ago. And at first when I did it, a salad a day was too much. Like my body wasn't ready for that much salad. Now I do a salad a day. It's no problem. Along the way, about 12 weeks into having these salads,
I was like, okay, this is a new habit. So now I need to go back to our original list, which is health and wellness, check, the salad fits that box, time and money. So time and money, I was getting my salads every day from Wendy's, which was costing me driving time. It was costing me $5. And so I was like, well, to be financially frugal, maybe I should make these at home. I could save like, it ends up being like a dollar a salad that you end up saving by making it at home. Plus, newsflash for you, we don't have these items. So now to make the Wendy's salad, I need chicken, I need bacon, I need cranberries, I need so many different foods. And I need to cook all those foods. Do you know how much time? I'm like, oh my gosh, it is going to take me an hour to save a dollar just to have this food in the refrigerator. That, I mean, the time, I was like, but what am I saying? If I buy a fast food salad every single day, I really should get this to where I can have it at home. Here's where I want to stop right now and say, sometimes when you're making progress on your goals, you then sabotage yourself. And I sabotaged myself by thinking I should save time and money by not driving to get my salad, and I should make it more healthily at home. And when I did that, we bought all of the salad fixings at home. I made one salad. Everything went bad. We ended up throwing it away. And for 3 weeks, I didn't have any salads at all because I felt too guilty to go back to Wendy's. And I didn't want to waste all the money buying all the supplies again because I knew there was no way I was going to stop working and spend all the time to make all these. Like, it wasn't going to work. Finally, after about 3 or 4 weeks of this, I said, Lisa, just buy the Wendy's salad. So then I went down to like, okay, well, I have $5 today. I'll go buy a salad. Today it's okay. And I would have a couple of salads a week. Recently, I decided, no, I feel better when I eat the salad. The salad is better for me. Maybe there's preservatives in the chicken. I don't know. But it seems like a great salad to me. They're making it better than I am. $5 for lunch is no big whoop. I drink a water with it. So we're good to go with that. And now I just buy 5 salads a week. Every single weekday, I have a salad, and sometimes Saturday and Sunday. And I save my time because these salads tend to last 2 days, probably have preservatives. I don't even care. So I'll go on Monday and I will buy 2 salads, one for Monday and one for Tuesday. I just went through the drive-thru Wednesday night and I bought my Thursday and Friday salad. They're sitting right in the refrigerator for me. So sometimes when we start to see things that are working, we then will make these grandiose perfectionistic things about how we have to save all in all areas. And I want to say that sometimes you are sabotaging your success by trying to make it harder when you are actually achieving the goal. Oh my gosh, I knew this would be long. I'm nowhere near the end of this. Okay, I'll try to talk a little bit faster. So I'm feeling full on my salads. The next thing is I have a little cookie after that. I have a Noni's cookie. It's in my Instagram feed if you want to go check it out. It is yumminess. And I want sweet food. I want dessert after every single meal. So I would eat my salad and then I would eat my cookie. Now here I'm going to jump ahead to some of the mindset shifts I made this weekend. This weekend, I was painting the office and I listened to podcasts the entire time. And the podcast I'm listening to is Brooke Castillo's Self Coaching School. And on that podcast, I downloaded all the ones about food. She is a food coach, but also I've listened to a lot of her other ones. And in there, she talks about this ghrelin and how ghrelin makes your body feel full. And then she said, first of all, if you are overweight, then you are overeating, period. End of discussion. I was like, oh, I don't like that answer. Just like, no, if you are overweight, you are overeating, period. And I was like, well, then I don't like to not get an A. So how do I get an A, Brooke? She also said in there that every time that you eat, you're eating for a reason. And I realized that lately, I have not been hungry. Like, I'm literally on my way to Culver's buying the onion rings, and I'm saying to myself, Lisa, you're not even hungry. I'm like, I know, but I want them. Yeah, but you're not even hungry, so you're going to eat 400 calories. You don't even need it. I know, but it's onion ring time. Yes, but why are you buying the onion rings? This is before I listened to Brooke's podcast, and I'm like, well, I worked really hard today. Yeah, but you worked really hard today, so do you deserve to gain weight? Like this is a conversation I'm having in my head. So in one of Brooke's podcasts, she says, why are you eating? Like, that food is, and this is back to your health and fitness, what I've decided, health and fitness is your energy level. It's How do you feel? And how do you reward yourself? I reward myself with chocolates. I reward myself with onion rings. I reward myself with popcorn with Greg at night. I'm not even hungry for these things, but they're my treats. They're part of my day. They're my treats. So I get them. I have pretty much given up chocolate because other than like this chocolate peanut butter bar doesn't affect me, but other kinds of chocolate immediately gives me a migraine. I pretty much don't eat other chocolate throughout the day. So why am I eating it? And I'm eating it because it gives me pleasure. So after my salad, I usually have this little cookie and I tend to eat it. And sometimes I'll be like, oh, it's time for my cookie. And I'll be like, oh, I already had it. And what I realized is I literally sit at my computer and eat my salad and my cookie while I'm answering emails and typing because I'm a workaholic. And what I'm starting to do is yesterday I did this. It was time for my cookie and I set it on my desk so I could see it and I was allowed to have it whenever I wanted it, but I wasn't really hungry. I was like, okay, I'm just going to set this here and see when I want it. And it was a couple hours later and my cookie was still there. And I was like, you know what? I think I want it now. And I wasn't totally starving, but it was my treat and I had earned it. And so I probably had it around 4 o'clock instead of the normal like 12 or 1 o'clock. And I said, okay, well, I'm having my treat. So I'm going to leave my desk. And I literally walked 3 steps over to this chair that I have. And I sat in the chair and I ate the cookie. And this is so crazy, you guys. I took 3 minutes and every bite, I was like, this is really good. I love that this has like the toffee and the chocolate and it has a little bit of chocolate in it. It has salt and it has a coffee taste and it's so yummy. And I enjoyed all 6 bites of it. In the past, I would eat that in 3 bites because that's my dessert and that's check it off the list, check it off the list, check it off the list. I noticed that I'm not hungry because I didn't know what hunger was. And by listening to Brooke's podcast, I realized that, oh my gosh, I'm eating out of habit. I'm not eating out of hunger. I'm eating out of trying to reward myself. I'm not eating out of hunger. And I live a charmed life. That's why I want to tell you that. You don't have to eat out of reward and pleasure because your life is bad. Sometimes you do it when your life is good too, because all of our habits are ingrained during good times and bad times. The other thing that Brooke said that just totally was like, yes, is she said that you exercise for health, not for weight loss. She's like, you can exercise yourself to death and you're not going to lose very many pounds. It's what you eat that's affecting what your scale says. You should exercise for health. And she said, when you exercise for health and you do 10 pushups a day, you are a person who exercises. I was like, oh my gosh, I am a person who exercises. Because in November, I had decided I was going to do push-ups, even if that meant one a day. And in November, I couldn't even do one. Like, it was comical. I could not do a push-up. Now, I could do 20 straight. I do them on my knees. They're not like true push-ups, but I do 20 straight push-ups without stopping. And that is phenomenally amazing. And I wasn't sure if it was making any difference until we went to redo the warehouse and we had to move all these 15 to 30 pound boxes. And I moved so many of them that day. I was so excited about getting all of this exercise in. And I said to my husband, I'm going to be so sore the next day. And I wasn't. I said, oh my gosh, I'm not sore. He goes, well, you know, it happens the day after. I was like, oh yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. So the day after, not sore at all. The day I painted the office, which took 7 hours, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be so sore tomorrow. Not sore at all. So I'm realizing that these 100 crunches and these 20 push-ups and these 100 leg thrust things. I don't even know what they are. I made them up. You lay on your back like you're all squished up like a, you know, like in the fetal position, and then you kick your legs straight out. I'm sure it has a name. Whatever. I'm doing 100 of them. It really is making a difference. And when Brooke said you exercise for health, I was like, yes, I am getting healthier. I am losing a little bit of weight, but I am getting healthier. I'm getting stronger. I can't see my stomach when I look down. Like, this is awesome. So for me, it was so freeing when she said that, because now I'm not exercising for weight loss. I'm exercising for health, and I've made a great plan. I'm in the great planning phase, and I'm going to make it a habit where I do these push-ups 5 times a week, this little exercise I do that takes 5 minutes. I like to use projects in order to get big bursts of energy out. So like when the warehouse needed to be painted and the estimate came into I was like, that's an exercise project. So it checked multiple boxes. And then tonight, after I'm done recording these podcasts, I am going to move my daughter's bed and clean out underneath the bed and redo that area. And I've already checked it off as a big exercising project this week as an added benefit of that organization project. Also, I like to walk the dog a couple of times a week when the weather is nice. And that is for my health. All of those things are for my health. Slow habit change is what is going to change your complete lifestyle. So now that you understand all of these things, I will be able to help you with what happens in decision fatigue. But we're going to be pulling on all of the stories that I shared in this podcast. So in 2 weeks, I'm going to be telling you about decision fatigue. And now you're going to hear about the new quiz we created. I would love for you to go take it.